For those of you who don't know me, my name is Alan. I am a member of the team here. And as we've gone through this week, from Casey last week on Palm Sunday, Tom taking us through the meditations, Casey again on Good Friday, and the beautiful, beautiful imagery that we had here as the drapes were lowered and the blood poured out from the cross, and then the vigil over the course of the last few days. It's now my privilege to come and share something of an Easter message with us today. And as we go into this day, I want to just bring really a question to start. It's Resurrection Day. So why are you crying? It's Resurrection Day. Mary, why are you crying? And we're going to read the second portion of the John passage that Abby read at the start. John chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. And it says this. Now, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on for me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Two figures in white asked Mary, "Why are you crying?" Jesus, in the garden before Mary recognizes him, asks Mary, "Why are you crying?" And Mary is crying because her dear, dear friend is dead. Mary is crying because the one person that saw through all the mess of her life and her past was gone. Mary's crying because the world is an ugly and brutal place. Mary's crying because an innocent man has been condemned to death. Mary's crying because in a cold, cold world, a burning fire of love has been extinguished. Because for Mary, all hope had gone. Mary's crying because after years of heartache and abuse, she had finally found something good and pure. Mary's crying because in the garden she realized that actually not very much had changed. The Romans were still in charge. Her life, her prospects, her reputation hadn't changed. In fact, she's one jar of very expensive perfume worse off. Mary's crying because to add insult to injury, Jesus' body is gone. And Mary's crying because in this moment of her life, she doesn't recognize Jesus. It's Resurrection Day. Why are you crying? I'm crying because Alana, Dan, and Owen rigged up a cross and they pulled up some banners and something touched my heart on Good Friday. I'm crying this Resurrection Day because it's 15 months since I saw my dad. I'm crying because I'm probably not going to France on holiday in the summer. I'm crying because of flipping COVID-19. I'm crying because my cat is old, costing me a fortune, and probably won't see out the year. I'm crying because after 17 years, I realize this year it's all right to miss my mum. I'm crying this resurrection day because in October my big boy left for university and I miss having him around the house. I'm crying because in September his little brother will leave and head off to university too. And I'm not sure I'm ready to break up the band just yet. I'm crying this Easter because I gave an Easter egg to a homeless woman in the week and I heard something of her story and I felt all I had to give her was an Easter egg. I'm crying this resurrection day because I knocked on the door of one of our old folk who used to come to Natter, our drop-in cafe. And as he opened the door through the mask, I don't think he recognized me. I'm crying this Easter because there are moments in my life when I feel totally and utterly out of my depth. I'm crying this Easter because I should be a better son, a better husband, a better father, a better friend. I'm crying this Easter because I realized this Lent that I am not worthy to be called God's son because I'm a sinner, because I'm weak, I'm foolish, I'm fallible. And I'm crying this Easter because, like Mary, there are moments in my life when I feel alone and I don't recognize Jesus, even when he's standing in front of me. It's Resurrection Day. Why are you crying? See, it's been a long, hard year. It's been, as Albert Onger shared this morning, a year full of lament. We have lost so much in so many ways, and it's easy to find ourselves in the garden with Mary, a little lost, crying our tears, confused, wondering where on earth Jesus is. We can feel very easily lost and alone. And then Jesus calls you by name. It gets better, people. It's all right. I have a daughter. She's not going to university anytime soon. She sat here at the front, and she is absolutely awesome. She was born with a visual impairment. I've asked her if it's okay to share this, and she said yes. She was born with a visual impairment, and through all the struggles and the trials and the issues that she faces, she is absolutely smashing it at life. She has had the misfortune of ending a primary school career during COVID. She started at secondary school during this crazy time. And I can tell you that the reports are good. She's doing an amazing, amazing job. Now, before all these folk went back to school, we had a moment where Faith was homeschooling and I was working at my office table, my dining room table. She came into the room and she said, "Dad, I'm going for a walk. Daily exercise." I said, "That's great, where are you going?" Thinking that she was going to stay somewhere where she'd walked before. But no, she said, "I'm going off to the Walkley Cemetery." We've been there, it's not a morbid thing for Faith or our family, but we've walked out and through that way, but it's not somewhere that she has walked before. So I said, "Have you got your equipment?" "So, yeah, I've got my phone, I've got everything that I need, all will be well." So off she went, and I carried on working, and I thought no more about it. Occasional moments of thinking, "Hope she's okay," but mainly I was pressing on doing the work that I had to do. And then I got that call about 45 minutes later of quite a tearful, quite an anxious little girl who's 12 and not very little, and I shouldn't call her that in front of all of you. She said, "Dad, I'm a bit lost. Help." So I put everything down. I said, "Faith, where are you?" He said, "That's it, Dad, I don't know." okay, what can you see around you? What is there about? And she read a road sign that she was stood next to, which was Walkley Bank Road. I thought, well, Walkley Bank Road is quite a long road. What can you see? He said, there's houses on my side of the street and there's some sort of green on the other side of the road. And I'm at crossroads. And so through our conversation, I figured out that she was at the crossroads of Walkley Bank Road and Morley Street. And I thought, okay, I know where you are, Faith. I'm going to walk and I'm going to come and get you. I'm probably about 15 minutes away. But rather than jump in the car and rush to a rescue, I thought I can meet her and then I can walk her back together. We can raise her confidence and all will be well. So, Faith, I know where you are. What you need to do is you just need to start walking uphill and I will meet you. So I start walking, and I've got one of these apps on our phones where if I press a button, it will show me where Faith is, which is a great thing. I don't have it on all the time because sometimes I just don't want to know. But I turned it on and it said, this will take a little bit of time to warm up and get going. So I turn it on the phone and I start walking. I know where she is. She's walking uphill. She's coming to find me. It will be a wonderful sermon illustration at some point, I'm sure. And then the blue dot appears. Not walking uphill, no. Taking a different direction down into Rivlin Valley. I call Faith and say, Faith, you're going the wrong way. And so she turns around and she heads back towards where we were starting. We hang up and I continue to walk and I'm regularly trying to update my phone because it's not updating in real time. No, it gives you a good 2 minutes before it pings and it updates again. So I'm following my phone, careful as I cross roads, and then I'm following, just checking where she is. And now I see Faith's blue dot not heading uphill, because that would be far too simple, but now heading down a very steep hill, Waters Meet Road, if you know this part of town. And so I call Faith again and say, Faith, where are you going? I don't know, I'm a bit lost. What can you see, Faith? I can see a green fence. Okay, you're going to have to give me slightly more than that. I can see shops. It's okay, I think I'm near Zest. Now, anybody who knows Sheffield knows that Zest is a full mile and a half away from Faith's current location. Faith, stop moving. Turn around, walk back uphill to where you first called me. Okay, I'll do that. And so I carry on walking. I'm getting closer. I'm thinking, I'm going to see her very soon. The dot appears on my phone, and it is moving back towards where she first called me. Fantastic. I will see her in just a few minutes' time. And then my phone did one of those things that only Google Maps can do. My little blue dot on my screen leapt from the junction where I'd first met her, and it leapt down near Zest, coincidentally, and a big blue circle of uncertainty appeared around the blue dot. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. Pick up the phone. And I try and call her. There's no answer. My head and my heart are going mad. She's been picked up. Someone's abducted her. She's stuffed in a boot, hence the big blue circle of uncertainty. I try and call her. There's no answer. My fear and my worry is rising. It's rising. I try and call her. I'm updating the phone like crazy. Come on, where is my daughter? But this blue dot and this big circle of uncertainty is not going anywhere. I keep walking to our rendezvous point, hoping that as I come over the little brow of the hill that I will see her. And there is no sign of Faith anywhere. I try and call her. There is no answer. Any parents out here that has lost a child, we did actually leave Faith in the park when she was about 3 for about half an hour before we realized that she was not with us. So this was a familiar feeling. Were you 7? Okay, she was 7. I wish she wasn't sat right in front of me right now, but she is. Suddenly the blue dot appears, and it's back, not at our rendezvous point, but it's down now further down in an area of trees down towards the Rivlin Valley, not on the road. I've quickened my pace. I'm maybe 2 or 3 minutes away, but as I walk down, I'm still trying to call her and she's still not picking up. I still can't hail her. I'm now looking over the fence and I'm looking through the trees, wondering whether I'm going to see a body or I'm going to see a discarded phone. Where's my daughter? And then finally my phone rings. Dad? Dad, I'm lost. And you can hear that she's just really on the edge of tears. I, on the other hand, am a picture of calm. Darling, I know where you are. Stand still. Stop moving. Turn around and head back to where you first called me. I'm 2 minutes away. I will see you very soon. And I hang up the phone. And I think, why, oh, why did I hang up the phone? I should have just stayed on the phone and just continued to talk to her. But within 30 seconds over the wall that's now between us, I see the little blonde platinum head of my daughter. And I call her name, Faith, Faith. And she sees me and she runs to me and I throw my arms around her and I give her a huge, huge embrace. We have a God in heaven who loves us, who is searching for us, who never stops searching for us. We learned through the week with Tom as he took us through the prodigal son, the lost sons, that you can be equally lost out in the world doing your own thing as you can being sat in church with a religious crowd. But he is looking for you and he is looking for me. And he will drop everything. He will leave the 99 on the hillside and he will pursue you and me until he finds us. You see, the cross behind me smashes down every obstacle. No matter how lost, no matter how alone, no matter how confused, no matter how far we've wandered from a simple instruction, just to go uphill. It's not that tricky. He will find us and he will pursue us. The cross behind me says, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Nothing will ever stop me coming to find you. Nothing will ever come between us. You are loved, you are accepted, you are embraced. You are forgiven. All we need to do is pick up the metaphorical phone, cry out to our Father, Dad, I'm lost. Help. Dad, I'm afraid. Come. Dad, I've wandered off the path. I don't know where I am. I need you to come and help me to find my way home. Dad, I need you to teach me which way is up. You see, Mary is crying on Resurrection Day. And then Jesus comes and speaks her name. She recognizes him. Now, the Romans are still in charge. My cat is still going to die. But in amongst the confusion, in amongst the pain and the craziness that has been this COVID year, Jesus comes alongside. He wraps his loving arms around us and he will bring us home. And as we walk with him, we grow in confidence. His love awakens our frightened hearts, thaws the ice, our fear subsides, and we learn to trust him. And as he warms us, as he puts us back on the path, we get to play our part looking out, searching and seeking those that are lost around us, to draw alongside at a 2-meter distance. but to help others meet Jesus and hear him call their names. I'm going to invite the band. Why don't we stand together? And for those of you at home, that little blonde platinum head that you can see on the bottom of my screen is the same head that I saw poking over that wall on that walk to go and find her. So incredibly proud of my girl and my boys. But let's just take a moment. Let's just pick up the metaphorical phone. What do you need to say to your father this morning? Let's just close our eyes. Father, I want to thank you that today is Resurrection Day. Lord, that no matter how close, no matter how far we feel from you this day, that you never stop pursuing us. No matter how much that we've got it together, no matter how much we feel that we're falling apart, Lord, that you still call out our names, that you still run to us, that you still wrap us with your arms. Thank you, Lord, that you came to change our hearts, to let us know that we are loved, that we are forgiven, that the guilt and shame that we carry no longer has any power over us. Come, Lord, although we may weep on this resurrection day, Father, I pray that we would hear you call our names once again. In Jesus' name, amen.